This is a Wait Don't Do It podcast with your girl Nunu Paris and Raffy. Make sure to join us monthly at El Rey for Reggaeton Brunch. You can follow at Reggaeton Brunch DC for more details. We'll see you there, baby sotas. Mwah. Salutation and greetings, lovely people. Welcome to episode 7 of Wait, Don't Do It. Wait, don't copy and paste. So we are here to remind our listeners what not to do. And today we're talking about words that run our world, from gaslighting to gatekeeping, and why DC nightlife keeps hitting repeat. And we also got some hot topics for you.
There's so much going on in the world. Let's dive in, because I think we have a lot to talk about today, Nunu.
Much ado about fakes, buffooneries, doppelgangers, all these copying and pasting. Really thinking about branding and sticking out for yourself and being your own person. I mean, between all these words and trends, it's hard to keep up, especially with old millennials like Raffy.
You have been saying words. What words are you talking about?
You remember, like, before all these excuses, we didn't have words like gaslighting, like your favorite word, right?
Oh, okay. So you're talking about like the internet phrases, like gaslighting, girl boss, you hate girl bosses, gatekeeping, rage baiting. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, negging.
What isn't negging rage baiting?
I think negging is like a feminine version, a cunty version of rage baiting.
You don't like these words because I think you've been operating by them for so long that now do you feel like you're being called out?
Me being called out? No, fucking no. What are you talking about? No, honestly, as a Gemini, I get accused a lot of being a contrarian, of being a rage baiter, of purposely doing things to set people off. I have never understood it, obviously, from my perspective, because, like, I couldn't imagine spending time to be like, what's going to piss someone off? You know what I mean?
No, I'm definitely, I think it's so funny that now we have the word rage bait, because I feel like, as a little brother, I feel like that's all I know how to do, is I love annoying people, kind of. That's, like, my love.
Yeah, what did they call it back in the day? Like, obviously, you references, like, little brother feel.
I feel like it was negging. Yeah. I feel like negging is, like, a term that was not, you know? It wasn't just of the time. I think that was always a thing.
In the early thousands, when I was born, you're talking about that they were using negging. No, they were not. What were they using? They were still calling.
They were like, I feel like white people were saying, like, don't you bait me. You know, they were still saying bait. Like, you're baiting me.
Like baiting a fish hook?
Yeah.
Or?
Like, masturbating? No. Baiting like a fish, yes.
I feel like you don't know anything about fishing, so.
I can smell it every time I'm around you, so.
plus. I would actually love to take you fishing. First of all, to see you on a boat in general. You never wanted to bait, like, take a live worm, put a hook through it, and throw it out for some.
No. I get a fishing. Who wants a fish?
Have to do that. So you worked on a farm. You were in a dung heap, but you didn't fish. I feel like it's all in the same. In the same realm of country lemonade hoedown time.
Yeah, no, I've never had to fish. I wouldn't mind going fishing. I love being on a boat.
You never fished? That is so crazy.
No, Nunu, you have not fished ever in your life.
I can never bait a hook with, like, killing a live worm. I would feel bad. I do feel bad about killing live creatures now in my adult life. And I could not actually touch the fish when I caught it.
I don't think there's any, like, non-painful way to fish a fish. You're hooking them with something sharp in their mouth. Imagine being hooked by your mouth and being pulled aggressively. That sounds painful. That's like torture. I don't know how people see fishing as
humane. Literally
did
that at a crew club this weekend. I'm literally just gagging.
Spilling
the tea.
Jokes are only funny if they're rooted out of honesty.
She literally says she likes him with a curve. Play it back. So
I don't think there is a non-painful way to hook an animal. I think that sounds.
I mean, I think fishing in general, there's a level of, you know, hunting and gathering to it. You know, primal instincts. So that's why I don't do it anymore, because I just couldn't imagine. But there was a thrill of, you know, hooking it, you know, reeling it in.
What's the biggest thing you ever caught?
Chlamydia.
Ow. 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 Dude, it's so funny, y'all.
You can see me at the Chuckle Hut every Wednesday. I feel like that term was not a thing. Like, now we have fishing for compliments. She's fishing. She's fishing. Yeah, she's viewing.
Fishing for compliments.
Like, all these terms, baiting, fishing. I guess it all has to do with the art of actual fishing with live fish. It's hard even to use another word to describe. Is there another word for fishing that's not fishing? Like, you know how, like, horseback riding is, like, equestrian? Is there not a better fancy word for
equestrian
fishing?
Is the art of being a horse, not the riding a horse. That's not a verb. Or a what is it? Adjective? Verb.
Did you get to ride the horse or just castrate them?
I would never jump on a horse. I would never ride a horse.
You never rode a horse?
Okay. Fucking Cowboy Barbie over here is just like, girl, like, you had a childhood. You had a whole childhood. I'm kind of obsessed, because for someone who doesn't experience anything today and nowadays, plays it safe, I might say. You've been on horses, you were in boats, you fished.
I don't want to ride.
Oh, wow. You were really, like, in it. What? Did you do this for a boy? Did you do this with your dad? What's this fairy tale here?
I just think I was exposed to a lot. I had options. I did a lot, I feel like, in the country. I feel like you rode horses. But I rode horses not in the sense of, like, wild horses, right? They came to my school. You know, we had eighth grade or, like, end of the year events, and they had horse riding come to your school. I don't know if you had that happen. But
you had a budget at your school.
Yeah, it was nice. I actually did hate riding the horse. You're right. I absolutely hated it. Sitting on a live creature. Oh, my God. Feeling it move. Feeling the bones move. Oh, my God. And then it used the bathroom whilst I was on the course. I couldn't imagine.
You know, okay. No, rage baiting, though. Like, in couples, don't you ever, like, rage bait Prince just to, like, get a rise out of him? I feel like, yes, you do. That's, like, something you do to everyone. So, like, I assume you do it to Prince.
I mean, yeah, like, as a gesture, I feel like we all tease someone, like, oh, you don't know this, you don't do this, even though you know they don't. Like, Raffy does the same where he's like, oh my God, you're not an alternative girl, you're not a horror girl, but you guys,
no, I'm not
all
trying
know
to, like, get a rise out
that
of you.
I am.
Mean that you're not alternative. I do think this look that you did today was an alternative look that you could. It was an alternative. It was another option, so to speak. But I don't think that it was, I don't think it gives alternative like this.
I think they're definitely jokes. I think they're definitely jokes. Because I am the most alternative queen. I am a horror queen. And I'm a horror girly, right? I know all the horror movies. I mean, Raffy hasn't even seen The Conjuring. I've seen every.
Well, that's
single
right. You
movie
did see the new movie, The Conjuring. Oh, I didn't know we were talking about that today. How was it?
Oh my God, it's the last Conjuring movie in the series, and it's it was a great send off for Anna Lorraine, for Patrick Wilson, for Vera Farmiga, and I'm just so glad I got to witness it. Please go support it if you have time in your schedule. It is long. Here's one of the best horror series in American history. We have almost 15 years of legacy that sparked icons such as
Annabelle.
Don't
age us like that.
Nine.
That means we were 15 when it came out, girl.
I can remember being in the theaters with my best girlies in high school that I don't talk to anymore. Like, I remember it. So I love the series, and it's an iconic series. And I'm glad it's over, though. I wanted to bring more horror. I think the thing about, you know, what's going on now, speaking of copying and pasting, we're going back to the topic. See, guys, we get back to the topic. Speaking of copying and pasting, I'm tired of these goddamn sequels and reboots. And I'm like, gosh, we keep doing the same things over and over again. I want new horror icons. I want new scary concepts. I want new original concepts for everything. I think we can't just keep recycling every single thing that exists. So things need to come to an end. I love it. It was the end of Final Destination, allegedly. Great. End of Conjuring, great. Let's end everything this year, honey.
How long are these worlds and universes, girl? Like, if you can't tell a story in three parts, then what story are you telling? Is this the Bible? The Bible wouldn't last nine films. Imagine spreading the Bible out for
you. You did not watch anything or know anything about the Bible. Please don't say
I watched The Passion of the Christ.
Everyone did. I wish this generation had a fucking traumatizing movie. Every generation has something like a Schindler's List or Passion of the Christ. Or Footloose or whatever.
Yeah, this generation had Cats. they had Cats. They also had Hamilton.
We'll get to that in our new segment. Are you ready to transition already?
Honey, that's the end of the first act. We're going to go on to talking about the hot topics. Who's ready to get burnt? Here's where we talk about all the hot topics in pop culture, what's going on in the news, and then we're just going to give our opinions on it.
Welcome to Wait, Don't Be the Headline, because you don't want to be caught in all this news, honey. So welcome to Wait, Don't Be the Headline. So like Rappy said, we are covering the topics, seeing what is about to go. So we're going to cover topics from health and lifestyle to music to fashion to government to what's happening in D.C. We got a lot to talk about. I want to keep it in D.C. So first up, now I sent this one in the group chat. We got that new Western theme bar, Desert 5 Spot. It is in Union Market, right? It just opened up like last week. We got this mechanical bull, a real live mechanical bull in person in Union Market Western theme. What are you feeling? What are your immediate thoughts? Well, we haven't tried it yet.
If it's straight, oh my God. But if it's in Union Market, if it's in that area, I'm assuming it's going to be very, you know, dare I say Navy Yard energy. But is this
in Union Market?
Bar? Is this a queer bar or is it like a red, but even Red Bear, look at Red Bear's demographic. Like, I wouldn't say there's,
so it's marketed as like a
diversity there.
It's marketed as like a no frills hangout, meaning like it's really just about live country music, like strong drinks and zero pretense. This is a quote, zero pretense.
We like Last Call though. So, I mean, if it leans more to the Last Call vibe, I think it could be a great spot that we can, but like, do I like going to any straight bar anymore? No, I prefer not to go to any straight bar.
Yeah, but I do like to try.
You know, that a mechanical bull is not the thing I'm trying to ride, you know? Like, girl, where's the real bills out?
I feel like it's cool to have like a rodeo fantasy. I think it's cool, especially in DC where I feel like the vibe is so uptight, so you're not really, you know, thinking you're like, oh, country western hoedown. And they're also kind of, you know, they're trying to come for our gig. You know, they also got like a bluegrass brunch. You know, we got reggaeton brunch, they got bluegrass brunch, you know.
But what do you know about bluegrass?
Oh, I actually don't know anything about anything. That's, I know Beyonce did country.
But you were fishing and riding horses and starting fires?
I don't know how to start a fire unless it is with gasoline.
I mean, we're going to talk about it today. I feel like a lot of the bars that have been opening up, especially in the gay scene, have just been a copy and paste kind of situation where if you go bar hopping right now, like at all the gay bars, chances are you're going to hear a certain song like three times because they're all playing the same kind of music. They're all kind of trying to provide the same kind of vibe that attracts the same kind of person. So it's really spreading out the culture very thin. So maybe this will like encourage people to just like go somewhere that's a little bit more low maintenance. I think that it's just very like I just went to like that new place, Revolt, and it just felt like I've been there before, but it's new, you know? And to me right now, there's only like three relevant gay bars in DC.
It's grateful that there are at least some bars, right, in DC, because as reported as of late, the DC restaurant scene is crumbling. We have about 900 jobs lost. So DC bars, DC eateries are shutting down at record rates. Nearly, again, 1,000 jobs gone. And it's the regulations and what's going on as a result of all this occupation, right, from the Trump administration that has happened. The DC hospitality industry and economy has definitely been a factor, right?
I mean, we've seen it. Like, we just had reggaeton brunch, and while we had a solid group of people that came and we were still able to provide the energy and the vibe that people have come to expect from us, it was hard to get people out there. It was, you know, still not our biggest brunch. And no matter how we promoted it, and like, at this point, sometimes you even have to question, like, should we be throwing parties? Because we don't want to put people at risk. And especially nowadays, like, we don't want people to, like, get drunk, and then you never know what could happen from those kinds of things. So there's a lot to think about when there's producing these events. But it's just been, it's been killing. It's for good reason, people are not going out, but it's definitely been, we feel it. We've been feeling it. Man, maybe that has something to do with it across all the gay bars too. But I'm telling you, the white gays are lining up to go to trade. The white gays are lining up to CVS to go to trade.
No shade, so, no shade.
What do you think the three most relevant gay bars in DC are right now?
I think the most relevant DC gay bars as September 2020.
I do think there's like three gay bars that are relevant amongst different populations. And that's the most I'm going to say with that. And I will say the three relevant gay bars for me are Trade right now, ever since they did the whole revamp. And I would say that Thirst is up there. Every time I've gone to Thirst, it's been packed. It's been providing a culture and a community and a space for, again, thinking outside the box.
And it's packed boots.
And it's been met with a lot of, you know, like, love and success. And then you have other bars like Little Gay Pub, which I think also has maintained a level of identity through all this.
Aesthetic, again, being able to branch out, exactly. Transfer.
Huh?
And also they maintain a level of aesthetic to be able to branch out and franchise. So they definitely have a strong business model and aesthetic. And I think they keep their populations always packed, see lines there, like you said, at Pride.
And ultimately, Little Gay Pub, if you think about it, encouraged, like, influenced a lot of these bars. I mean, it influenced Trade. If we want to really, like, talk about the mess, if we're talking about don't copy and paste, I feel like the biggest thing I've been, like, when, you know, you go to the bottom floor of Trade is that everyone's like, it feels like very Little Gay Pub. I feel like we're all comparing all the gay bars to each other.
When y'all decided to co-opt and appropriate this, like, interior design fantasy, y'all went to HGTV and found these wallpapers with just the most random things and said, we're just going to do that, put some little gold or a silver or disco ball-esque accent. And it's just going to be fab. And it is kind of fab because the gays are boring and we have the sense of Pee Wee Herman. But I feel like we need to aspire for more. But one of my favorite honorable mentions in that list is Crush. I do enjoy the space and the outdoor and the rooftop especially.
But I've been there multiple times. And while I like their drinks, while I like a lot of the staff there, I shouldn't go to one bar and then roll my eyes because I'm listening to the same kind of sound again. Like, at some point, you gotta mix it up. And I think that's ultimately what's gonna be the death of a lot of these gay bars, is that we can't all be listening to EDM remixes of, like, first of all, random Britney Spears songs. Just play Toxic. Just play the songs and let them play. You don't have
to. You want Spotify to be the AI DJ, that's what you're saying.
I do not want to listen to the I'm a Slave for You remix of Good Luck Bae by fucking Charlie XCX. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to listen to the Backstreet Boys, but covered by fucking Slater. Just play the fucking song, girl. Just play the fucking song, okay?
We're going into health and lifestyle. Now, you and the rest of y'all remember Weight Watchers. Do you know Weight Watchers is back?
People always been counting their points.
The points is crazy. So before we get into it, again, we have some iconic past episodes. If you want to go back and look at Go to Health or Go to Health Part 2. Okay. Weight Watchers is back, though. So even though, you know, our generation was the era of, you know, counting calories, having this extreme diet culture, Slim Fast, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig. What else did we have out there?
We had the South Beach Diet. Remember the South Beach Diet?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do... Okay, which diets did you do?
Oh, my God. You know the one I always wanted to do? I always wanted to do HydroxyCut Pro. You all know y'all always wanted to really, really try that Slim Fast. Sometimes it not work.
There are certain things I wouldn't do for, like, weight loss, and it is meth and HydroxyCut. Lean cuisine? Did you just say lean cuisine? Healthy is lean cuisine. I'm stuck on that. You thought Lean Cuisine, just because it said Lean Cuisine, didn't make it healthy.
No.
So
from 9th to 10th grade, I would literally like pack like Lean Cuisine lunch. I was like, well, I gotta get skinny, you know what I mean? Like, I gotta.
Did it ever happen?
But going back to Weight Watchers, I remember all these girls, right? You would watch these mildly relevant celebrity women, right? It was always like what was that girl's name? It was Donnie and
Marie
yeah. Osborne. It was always someone like Winona Judd or, you know, rest in peace. I don't know if he's a lot of people be like, oh, Weight Watchers and Counterpoint. You know, they would say, bitch, you can eat this fucking chocolate cake. You can eat 10 chocolate milkshakes and you're gonna lose weight. Whole, you remember getting the shakes and be like, bitch, this is kind of good, and thinking you was gonna be skinny, and it just did nothing but just give you more sugar.
I remember the Atkins diet.
My God, the Atkins diet, South Beach, Atkins, Slim Fast, all those are iconic. But all to say, Weight Watchers is back. So, you know, they had the little bankruptcy, you know, no shade. You know, they went from like 5 million subscribers to like 3 million subscribers, but they are back. They're back, y'all. And they're focused more on GLP-1, right? Shout out to Ozempic.
Yeah, I was thinking about, did they collab with Ozempic?
They just do more like hormone treatments and more like GLP-1. Like, it's still like holistic in your body and da-da-da, but it's like GLP-1. Like, GLP-1 is everywhere. Everyone's saying, bitch, go ahead and inject it.
Do what y'all need to do. Live y'all's best life. As long as y'all feel healthy, as long as y'all feel good about your body, and as long as you know what you're doing, live your best life. Live your best life. We are now in the modern age where Weight Watchers is Ozempic. You know, like, I really think that we're just weeding out obesity, if you think about it.
But, I mean, I don't think, you know, any of us would turn down a GLP, you know, gum or mint or just something, you know, easy little fruit snack, you know, something easy to, you know, get a little dip tuck in there. I think that we like to judge all these things like, oh, because it's an injection. And I feel like once you get to inject it, people start viewing it as surgery or like drug addiction or something.
Well, I want to stress that I feel like while in my youth, like 20s, I was like, very obsessed with losing weight and trying to get skinny. I realize as I've gotten older, especially now as I'm older, I feel like I'm definitely put on some muscle lately, but I feel like I definitely have lent into just the idea that I'd rather be, I don't like the idea of being skinny doesn't attract me as much anymore. Like losing weight. At this point, I'd rather just like keep like, you know, building what I'm building and then see what happens after that. But like skinny, I think is overrated.
So Weight Watchers is not for you.
No, I wouldn't want to do Weight Watchers because you're not eating enough. The whole point of Weight Watchers is you're like cutting your calories to such a like negative. Remember, like I said, I remember I got a nutritionist who, hindsight, was not even certified, but she gave me a nutrition plan that got me, and plus I was also biking everywhere. I was also going through a training camp for a boutique fitness studio, and I lost like 20 pounds in a month, like 20 pounds, solid 20 pounds in a month. And Nunu said that I look sick.
Sickly, it's the adjective.
But yeah, so I mean, I was feeling confident. I was feeling all lovely, but then apparently and then I see pictures now and I'm like, I wouldn't want to get back that small right now, especially like when I remember how, like, you know, I felt. So like very.
Yeah. Funny. You know, I was also watching Lena Waithe's Hillman Legacy podcast with Vivica Fox. And this podcast goes through, you know, iconic Black celebrities. But in it, Vivica talks about her training for Kill Bill 1. And Quentin Tarantino had all the women do, you know, the real stunts. So there weren't like people doing it. They had to really train. And she talked about how she went from like a size 10 to a size 2. And it took 6 months of training, had to work out every day. And she was like, it was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, now I work out my routine. I do have a routine and I work out two times a week.
Okay. Okay. You heard it here. Get into it. What are you talking about? Don't let him lie to y'all. It's 2 times a month. He just be strolling around. What are you talking about?
You can ask my instructor. I go there 2 times a week and the best I can, because sometimes work gets in it, but 2 times solid a week plus whatever class I'm teaching that week. And I feel like that's just a good steady. I don't want to do too much. I feel like I'm getting more confident in my body while I'm working out. That's been very reassuring. So fuck Weight Watchers. If you want to do Weight Watchers, go ahead. You don't need it though, because remember, it's what's inside that counts. And when I'm talking about inside, I'm talking about your lower half. Next.
Well, Raffy, that brings us to Wait, Don't Do These Buzzwords, our main topic. We touched on it a little bit earlier with all of this gatekeeping and rage baiting, and also these bars, you know, playing the same types of music. One of the things I usually rage bait Raffy about, I would say definitely horror movies. I think we do a playful rage bait about which one is more of a horror fan, even though I am.
That's not true.
You can easily rage bait Raffy if you say Cat's Eye is bad, even though they objectively are.
Not true. Though that's not even rage baiting, because I can't even like respect that opinion. You're bullying 17-year-old girls, so.
They're not bad. They're just not interesting. Sorry. They're pretty yeah. girls. Yeah. Great gowns. They dance well. Gnarly. Chicken fried rice. Gnarly.
How can I rage bait Nunu? Nunu.
I don't get rage baited. That's the thing.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes,
I literally just be chilling.
No, Nunu, you know how to rage bait Nunu? Just show affection to her. Just like actually just show honest affection and she'll just get annoyed with you. Absolutely. I'll wake up and try to like start with a good foot on reggaeton brunch mornings. Picture it. Reggaeton brunch right around 10 o'clock. I call Nunu. And I'm like, good morning, sweetie. Oh my God, I'm so excited. And I literally will do that. I'll over exaggerate the excitement. I'm like, hello, we are so here. Reggaeton brunch. I'm so excited. We have another event. And then Nunu will be literally doing her makeup on the other side and being. I'm going to call you when I get in the Uber. I'm going to call you when I get in the Uber. Yeah.
He still forgets the phone.
So, yeah, that's I'm literally just trying to like start chipper, and then Nunu will just shut it down immediately and be like, no.
That's not rage bait. I'm not annoyed by it.
You really do. Oh, Beyonce is a huge rage bait opportunity with you. Sometimes I just compare any artist to Beyonce just to piss you off.
Because it makes no sense. So I just.
But yeah, I'll just bring up like, oh yeah, but Beyonce. And then that's a great way to raise me.
It's camp. In
the 90s, where we were, it was a lawless time. We were not calling people out for rage baiting.
That's what the thing was to do. You would watch all that. You would watch all these kid shows. And I think the whole thing was to make people mad. You watch pranks. You'd be like, how can we make people upset? Like, I feel like that was the whole culture. Not even just kid shows. Like
trolling.
Like Candid Camera or Pongs, right? Everything back in the early, in our day, was about just fucking with people.
Boiling Point.
Boiling Point. Oh my God. Yes. Again, next.
Do you think you would survive an episode of Boiling Point?
Yeah. Nothing makes me upset. I don't let my anger out in public.
But you forget, they would not give you the money if you walked away. You would walk away. Absolutely. You would disengage.
Oh, boots. Boots. I would definitely have to remove myself in the situation, but like I would go through it. Like I think about Lady Gaga's, and hers was just like an annoying waiter. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to eat my food.
Yeah. You could handle that. And I feel like I could probably handle that.
Fail Boiling Points. You have like no patience with anybody.
I've gotten a lot better. But I don't think I would survive in a lot. And I think if it wasn't me yelling at the person, it would be me disengaging for sure.
Something I want to see if we can survive is our little fun game. And it's called Don't Do the Read. So we had... provide a funny or a shady quote. And so me and Rafi have to guess who is most likely to say it. So we're going to reveal the answer, obviously, after each guess. And we want to see how does AI view us both. And I can't wait to see how this turns out. You ready for quote number one?
This is how Nunu Paris is. This is how your ChatGPT views me.
If brunch starts before 2 p.m., it's just breakfast with louder gaze. Who would say that, Rafi or Nunu?
If brunch starts before 12 p.m. or 2 p.m., it's just breakfast with louder gaze.
That's definitely a Rafi quote. It's like not Fab. It's not Conti.
Would never say that. I would never say that.
It's not a me thing, so it gotta be you. You feel me?
Yeah. Oh my god. If this thing is me, I'm gonna be so annoyed, but it's definitely Nunu. I'm gonna just go.
Rafi.
That's so crazy. Next. Okay.
I'm not dramatic. I'm just performing at full volume while the rest of you are mumbling.
Okay, next, Nunu. You already said it. You don't have to prove it.
I didn't mean to ghost him. I just accidentally ignored him for 3 months straight. Ooh. It's clocking. No, why is it clocking? See about Rafi.
This could easily be you, though. This could easily be you. You ghost people all the time.
Honestly, I think my boy version myself would definitely say this for sure.
Yeah, you would actually more say this.
I've never met a messy gay I didn't secretly admire for the chaos.
My inner demon would say this, but not. I would never say this out loud.
I would say this out loud. Like, I love a messy bit.
Yeah, I love. Again, I say that, but I would never say it like this or out loud like that. But yeah, I feel this. So both
this.
Of us. Plot twist? Is it both of us?
It's Rafi. I'm not late. The timeline simply adjusted to my presence. That's Rafi. Rafi's always.
That's Nunu.
Crazy.
Right.
Last one. No, I'm not arguing. I'm passionately explaining why I'm right.
That's Nunu. I mean, that's me, but Nunu too, though. Both of us, but that's me.
Both.
Oh my god, y'all! Are y'all excited about these games that we play every time? Because we are so glad they finished too. Wait, don't copy and paste. Let's not be afraid to really be earnest with ourselves. Dig deep and really just like, don't try to replicate something you've seen before. Don't think that what you've seen is the only way to go about some things. Always allow yourself to be the change you want to experience. That's up to you.
I agree. I think this copy and paste culture is affecting all industries, right? Like we said, from movies to hospitality, we have all these places shutting down in DC. While simultaneously new places are showing up, but in order to maintain, even for our brand at Reggaeton Brunch, right, I think it's about trying new things, innovation, and constantly adjusting and flexibility. And so having all these spaces with the same aesthetics or the same wallpapers, the same music, or even the same queens, right? I feel like gets to a space where you have to reinvent. And after a year or two, you know, you can coast. But, you know, after a while, we all have to change and get up on that horse. I know Rafi ain't rode a horse before, but you got to get up on that horse, honey, and ride a new ride, honestly. And on that note, please remember to just leave this rinse and repeat nightlife alone. You define your own life. If you want to wear what you wear, do what you want to do, be your own self. Stand out. Because this copy and paste culture is
let's also say stand out. But with it, like I said, I want everyone to be safe out there. Just be safe. You know, do what you need to do to survive right now. But when it's time, when you find those moments, when you find a space that allows you to lay your head down, or let your hair down. That's the place you need to find. Okay, here's to finding those spaces. There's so many things. I have a friend. Shout out to Joanna. She comes to Reggaeton Brunch. She's also starting a Latinx book club. Shout out to Joanna. Like I said, there are spaces right now with people like minded. I also am part of a writing group at Tintas DC. We meet once a month. We write. We read each other's stuff. We give each other feedback. It's a lot of meaningful spaces that I really look forward to every month. So don't be afraid. If you are actually interested in some of this stuff, we do release a newsletter once a month at Reggaeton Brunch. And we will be hinting at events that we'll be doing, but other events that we're going to. Think of it as something that provides you a space that you might not know about. It's not going to be restaurants. It's going to be clubs. It's going to be organizations. It's going to be events. From us,
it's
going to
be a way for just connect with us more and our community. As we said, to be safe out here during all these uncertain times, right? I think community is most important, and a way to keep in touch with our people, people that you know are safe, it is our goal. So we thank you all for listening, and we can't wait for yet another episode. But I want to talk about one last topic, just for posterity's sake. You know who I want to stop rage baiting?
Okay, Trump.
I think Trump is a good answer, but I want Ariana Grande, Lady Gaga, stop rage baiting. You amazing iconic divas have released these small ass tours and these small ass venues. And then this ticket sales and pre-sales are impossible. A 30,000 seat stadium with 3 million people in the waiting room? How are we going to see you? And then they all eventually do this and be like, oh, we're going to release a second leg.
What are we talk about? First of all, let me set up. First of all, no, I'm not even going to talk to Ariana. Ariana is so fucking fake. Ariana Grande, I'm going to say that one more time for the audience.
Are you saying Ariana Grande is fake?
I'm actually going to cut to not a couple episodes ago where Nunu Paris, you and a lot of other people in DC were echoing this. Beyonce hates DC. Beyonce doesn't care about DC. Beyonce pays DC dust. Like, what the fuck? Da 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 da. And then you have Ariana Grande, the Arianators. Y'all are staying real quiet when she skipped over us and went straight to New York. She didn't stop here for y'all. So where's the angle for her? Where's the hurt for her? But y'all were throwing Beyonce under the bus, saying ungrateful to Beyonce, being like, fuck you, Beyonce. You came here twice. You didn't even bring your husband out for us. Meanwhile, Beyonce said, fuck the Capitol. Y'all don't need me. Y'all don't care about me. Oh, Latinos love you. We're being attacked over here. And you don't want, you didn't come and give us any love? We need you right now, Ariana. Ariana, we need you in DC. And you chose to skip three airports. We have three airports. You chose none of them. I would have gone to Baltimore. You didn't go there.
Not too much.
So my thing is, Ariana is fake. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. I know I'm going to have a lot of mad people at me. Ariana, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. And that's why your best album is Dangerous Woman. Period.
Ariana, I can't wait to see you when you eventually announce the second leg of the tour and give us two DC dates just like Lady Gaga did. Please come. Please, everyone, come. I don't know what kind of new marketing strategy y'all are doing where, y'all have
rage baiting
via Ticketmaster. Have a good night, y'all. Thanks for listening to the episode. Make sure to follow at Wait Raffy and at Nunu Paris for all updates, especially about Reggaeton Brunch and when you're going to party with us. We'll see you there. Mwah.